Happy New Year to you. I was at All Hallows last week and at Triangle the week before, but it's great to be with you. And hopefully the pictures are going to be on the screen. You've all read this first book, I'm sure. Thank you, Phil. Who's read Mr. Worry? I'm sure you all have. And as we think about worry and weariness, I couldn't resist putting that on the screen. But apparently I'm reading... To switch off like others in this congregation, I know I'm not looking in any direction. I enjoy reading crime novels to relax and switch off. And would you believe I found this saying from Her Majesty's prison in Stirling. We cannot change today. We can only make the most of today and look forward with hope towards tomorrow. In fact, I read that wrong. We cannot change yesterday. We can only make the most of today and look forward with hope toward tomorrow. Strangest things you find in the strangest of places, isn't it? Some of you might remember Charlie Brown. Worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. Think about that for a moment, whatever you might be facing the rest of this week. I came across this lovely story, which I hope you'll get. For several years, apparently, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. "Good evening," said the man of the house. "I'm so pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting 10 years to meet you." Well, I'm sure that's not true, but I couldn't resist it. Children seem to have more worries today, don't they? But it's us adults who have more than our fair share. I'm not going to ask you to nod your head at any of what I'm going to say, but the what ifs and the how wills of life can really weigh and wear us down, can't they? And when we think of worry, no one has to tell us really, do they, of the high cost of anxiety even today. Lovely picture. You don't have to look at me. You can look at some of the pictures as I go through. But the big biblical word for worry is merimnao, which is, I suppose if Matthew was still here, he would correct me, but that's how I pronounce it. It's a compound of two Greek words, merizo, to divide, and nou, the mind. So you can work it out, to divide the mind. So from that, we can see that worry and anxiety splits our energy between today's priorities and tomorrow's problems. Our minds split between today and tomorrow. I'm no doctor, but I understand that worry can be connected to heart and tummy trouble, high blood pressure, and headaches. That's enough to be going on with, I think, at least. To divide the mind, just to get us to think about that for a moment. I came across two very useful quotes as well, which I found enlightening, thought I'd share with you. The first one is this one: worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Again, some of these things might trigger with you more than others, and I hope some of them will do at least. And this one too: worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Now, you might have to read that again to get that in your brains, but there's a lot of wisdom in that as well. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Anxiety. Trust me to get this one, and I'm the biggest culprit. I'm a fine one to talk about the subject, the biggest culprit out, that's me. Jesus had very sound advice in Matthew chapter 6. If you've got a Bible, you want to open it at Matthew 6, the reading that Chris read to us, please do. I'm going to be taking a trip through a few verses. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. Max Lucado, an American writer who I enjoy reading, once said, "Worry has never brightened a day, solved a problem, or cured a disease." How true is that? Are you a worrier? Don't put your hand up, but are you a worrier? Does anxiety get you? Well, look at me, and here's the biggest culprit. But I'm sure we all do at times. I'm reminded, too, of David's psalm, Psalm 23, you won't have to look it up, you'll all know it. He leads me beside still waters. So that means God goes before, asking us to come follow in his footsteps. And he doesn't berate us from behind. He is in front, clearing the way and letting us know what we need to know when we need to know it. All the way through this, I'm speaking to myself. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews says this: we will find grace to help us when we need it. How true! Another translation puts it this way: let us therefore boldly approach the throne of our gracious God, where we may receive mercy and in his grace find timely help. Isn't that what God promised in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 11, when he reminds his friends, his disciples, when they are arrested, all they need to know will be given to them. They need not worry about what they would be saying, what they would have to say to those who had taken them prisoner. Lovely picture, that one. Enjoy the picture while it's there. Think back to the Old Testament, where the Israelites were told to collect manna. You remember this, when they were out wandering through the desert. To collect one day's supply of manna that God would provide. Otherwise, if they collected more, it would go rotten. Except for Friday, when they could collect enough for the Sabbath day. It's good to know, isn't it, that as we just thought, that God leads his people. He did then and told them what to do. He leads us today. And he does what is right at the right time. And what a difference that can make, even for us today. The present is important. The Message version of the Bible, which I enjoy reading too, is good in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. We're back, aren't we, to the what ifs and how wills questions. How will I cope when I won't know what to do? When will I? Or whatever the questions might be. The wisdom from Jesus hints at the fact that today's problems should be met with today's strength. There's no point in trying to tackle tomorrow's problems until tomorrow, because if we're honest, we don't have the strength yet. Just simply enough for today, which our Lord will supply. If I was to put that picture up, you could spend a lot of time thinking who that was. I'll tell you who that was in just a moment. His name is Sir William Osler. Speaking to Yale in America University students in a talk entitled A Way of Life, he told this story of his experience aboard an ocean liner. Once, when visiting the captain, the loud alarm sounded, and grinding and crashing noises below the deck. The captain explained that they were watertight compartments closing. He said, "It's an important part of the safety drill. In case of real trouble, water leaking into one compartment would not affect the rest of the ship. The ship would still remain afloat." Speaking to the students, Osler quoted the captain's description. And this is the quote: "Think of your life, think of this boat. Each one of you is certainly a much more marvelous organization than that great liner and bound on a far longer voyage. What I urge you is that you learn to master your life by living each day in a day-tight compartment. And this will certainly ensure your safety throughout your entire journey of life. Touch a button, and here, at every level of your life, the iron doors shutting out the past, the dead yesterdays. Touch another and shut off with a metal curtain the future of the unknown tomorrows. Then you are safe, safe for today." He continues, "Think not of the amount to be accomplished, the difficulties to be overcome, but set earnestly at the little task near your elbow, letting that be sufficient for the day. And he continues, for surely our plain duty is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand, that is, today. Jesus makes the point a little bit further on. Words we've heard already. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But I expect you think, easy to say. Think of your life, what you might face this week. It's very easy to say these words. How easy is it to act on them, to live upon them? How easy is it to do? I'm speaking, as I said, to myself today as one who is prone to worry, I'll be honest and open, and thinking about what tomorrow might bring. But having said that, I'm sure I'm not the only one sitting here, standing or sitting here in church either. Lovely picture. Do children have anxieties? I'll leave that one with you. But anxiety takes our sleep, doesn't it? It takes our energy. And at times, it does take our well-being away as well. And yet the psalmist wrote some amazing words. Do not fret, it only causes harm. That's the psalmist, King David, whatever you want to think, the psalmist wrote those words. How true, how wise is that? I could sit down now, I'm not going to. And I love this quote. Every evening I turn worries over to God, he's going to be up all night anyway. And thank God that that is true. Trust me, God says, my grace and strength is sufficient. I'm not sure whether you've seen this film, but it has been made into a film. In 480 BC, the outmanned army of Sparta's King Leonidas held off the Persian troops of King Xerxes by fighting them one at a time as they came through a narrow mountain pass. Commenting on this strategy, Spurgeon from the Victorian times, a church leader, the Baptist church, said, suppose Leonidas and his handful of men had gone out into the wide open plain and attacked the Persians. Why, they would have died at once, even though they might have fought like lions. And he continued by saying that Christians stand in the narrow pass of today. If we choose to battle every difficulty at once, they're sure to suffer defeat. But, he says, if they trust God and take their troubles one by one, they will find that strength is sufficient. Winston Churchill reportedly once said, when I look back at all these worries, he said, I remember the story of Mark Twain, who said he'd had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. And again, these little gems might spark with you. They might not, but I share them with you. We mustn't worry about what the future holds. God's not going to let us see into the distance, so we might as well stop fretting about it, Nick. Lucado, again, says that God promises a lamp to our feet, not a crystal ball into the future. A lamp to our feet, the psalmist says, a light to our path. We don't need to know what will happen tomorrow. All we need to remember is that he leads us, and God's grace will be there to help us when we need it, and we will all need it at some time. Corrie ten Boom, who's been quoted from the front many times before, a great Christian who lived through the Second World War, once said this, and I'll put it on the screen, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. There it is again, you see. There's a lady who faced the concentration camps. I wonder, here's a question, are you laughing less than you once did? And I don't mean it jokes in the front from me or whoever, from whoever. Do you assume that something bad is going to happen? Many days would you rather stay in bed than get up? Don't answer that one aloud. Do you magnify the negative and dismiss the positive? If so, and you've got a Bible to hand, turn to the reading Phyllis kindly read for us earlier in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Some super words to read as maybe as you put your head on your pillow tonight. I'm going to put the words on the screen if you haven't got a Bible so you can follow it with me. I'm not going to read it again. Have a look at it. These five verses, I think, have four statements which lead to verse 7, and the peace of God, this is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard or fortress your heart and mind. Let's look at it. In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord whenever you feel like it. No, always. Nick, again. Celebrate God's goodness. That's what he calls us to do all the time. Look at verse 6. Present your requests to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Another translation says, ask for God's help. Do I? Do we? Whatever we may face on a certain day, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Verse 6. In other words, leave your concerns with him. Give thanks and present them before God. And then finally, that's those last few verses. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, etc. Think about such things. Think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Meditate on the good things. Nick, don't just think about all the bad things or what might happen. I wonder, can you use some calm in your life at the moment? With God as our helper, we'll sleep better tonight, I believe, and smile more tomorrow. But in no way is this done and dusted. We have to work at it on our part. And for some of us, it may mean going to see a doctor or a counsellor or whatever. God provides people with these skills. Here we go. Calm. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask for God's help. Leave your concerns with him. Meditate on the good things. I'm going to pin that on my fridge. Terry, make me do that, please. But I'll leave that with you. I might put it on the new sheet for next week. God didn't make us for lives of worry or fear, dreading what the next day would bring. But if you struggle with that Philippian passage, and you think, well, I can't cope with that, C-A-L-M, here are a few phrases which also stand out or jump out to me and help me to face whatever tomorrow's brings. Fret not, he loves you. Do you know that in your heart, that God loves you despite who you are and what you've done? Fret not, he loves you. Faint not, he holds you. There's another great verse from the Psalms, the longest psalm in the Psalter. Faint not, he holds you. And lastly, fear not, because he keeps you. Again, from Psalm 100. And 10:21. Calm all those verses. Think of the quotes that I've mentioned. I don't know, maybe something from today will just stick in your brain and you'll go home and think, yes, I can face today. I don't need worry about what's happened. God's sorted that. I don't need to worry about what tomorrow might bring because God will be there before me. God, give me the strength to face today. I'm going to leave those three verses on the screen as I invite you just to bow your heads with me or just look at those verses as I close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we remember how you spoke to storms. Whatever we're facing, would you speak to ours today? You calmed the hearts of the apostles. Would you calm the chaos within us today? If it exists, you told them to fear not. Lord, say the same to us if we need to hear it today. We're weary from worry, battered and belittled by the gales of life. Prince of Peace, Give to us, we pray, a spirit of calm, and quench anxiety, stir courage, and let us know less fret and more faith. For your glory, we pray. Amen.